and we don't want kids. So I said, my dad used to say dynamite comes in a small package, and I've got a short fuse, so be careful. Mm-hmm. And I did have a hell of a temper. And I couldn't stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Even when I was home, I couldn't. But the thing that was good about all of that, I grew up in the Navy. Mm-hmm. And it was the nicest thing that ever happened to me, probably. Because mm-hmm. I learned how to respect people and take orders and, well, just do what you had to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I done.
Okay. Let's go back a little bit. You said when you left home, you went to Wichita.
Yes.
And what kind of work did you do there?
I was a truck driver. Sanor Construction Company.
Okay.
And they had the contract to build a big runway. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now I'm hooked up to Boeing in different ways since then. Mm-hmm. I build lots of airplane parts for lots of airplanes for Boeing.
Okay.
And the B-52, mm-hmm. I build all the landing gears and all the throttle stands for every one of them will be B-52s. Mm-hmm. And I got to put the first one in the airplane.
Ooh.
Well, they got pretty proud of me when I got down there with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I had a pretty good time with that now. Mm-hmm. And then I got aboard aircraft carriers. I had two of them. Mm-hmm. And the first one was a Shangri-La, and it was they called it a baby flat top.
Okay.
And then I got a hold of the Shangri-La, and she was a big ship. Mm-hmm. And when I got aboard her, she was number 36, but they made an atomic aircraft carrier out of her, and I got off of her before that. And she went through hell and high water and back. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I wasn't on her at that time, but she got up to 52 knots. Mm. It could go that fast. That's a big ship. Mm-hmm. Well, it had 800 and some flight deck, length of flight deck, mm-hmm. and had a lot of airplanes on it. Mm-hmm. And I made my first rate when I was at the boatswain mate as a cable splicer for the catapult.
Okay.
So I'd done all that on the Shipley Bay and the Shangri-La. Mm-hmm. Then that wasn't enough for me, so I become a helmsman I steered the ship.
Okay.
And of course, a lot of things happened in between all that.
Right.
Too. I was a bad guy. I've been in the brig several times. Well, that's part of life.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, it's just kind of a funny story, but it's really happened. And somebody give me some orders that didn't know what he was talking about, and I insult him. Mm-hmm. And I have a bad mouth about it. Even today I do. And I'd say jackasses are smart, but you're not smart enough to be a jackass either. And, well, there was officers, and we called them 90-day wonders, and they really didn't know straight up from straight down. Mm-hmm. Some of them. Mm-hmm. Now, some of them was pretty nice guys. And of course, I got busted three times and spent time in the brig every time. And you don't hit a first lieutenant. No. But he got in the way, and I just knocked him down. Mm-hmm. And here I am. Well, at that time, I was probably 18 years old. I don't know, but I didn't weigh very much. Mm-hmm. And I never got brig time, and they blackmailed me about always going to turn me in, and I'd get a court-martial and get kicked out of the military. That's probably written down somewhere. I don't know for sure, but can you get into the thing in Salt Lake City where the Mormons got, can you get in that? Mm-hmm. Well, you ought to look me up and see. You get more there than I can tell you.
Okay, all right.
And, well, there's things that happened, and I don't know how to say that to you, but I was a real good pistol shot. Mm-hmm. And on the fantail of an aircraft carrier, I'd shoot flying fish with a 45. Just, well, never missed. I mean, just never did. So Admiral Halsey was aboard, mm-hmm. and I didn't know it, but I just sat there hanging my feet like I am here over the fantail, fish flying, they're gone. And pretty soon he touched me on the shoulder and said, "Sailor, I want to see you in my stateroom." And I knew by his voice, because if he whispered, he almost broke your eardrum. Mm-hmm. Good man, though. He said, "You be in my stateroom." Well, I didn't go right away. So he passed the word. Now. So I went to his stateroom. And, of course, I was trying to be as regulation as I could. And I stood up and saluted him. And, you know, all that stuff you have to do. Mm-hmm. And you had to do it. He said, not just being you here, it don't matter. He said, you can call me Bull if you want to, and I'll just call you Sailor or Wayne or whatever. Don't make a difference. So we got along real well like that. And he said, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. And he said, you don't have to answer me right now. He said, think about it if you want to. Well, I said, don't hold me in suspense no more. If you got something to do to me, if you're going to court-martial me, court-martial me. So I can get out. And I said, I don't want a dishonorable discharge, but if I got it coming, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, that isn't at all what I'm talking to you about. I said, well, what is it? He said, would you like to be my bodyguard? Mm. And you don't know what to say. No, I really didn't. I walked around the stateroom and I said, I'd like to answer that two or three days from now. Fine. So he took a liking to me for a lot of other things now, mm-hmm. but this particular time he said he had a Japanese cook, or maybe it was a Chinese cook, I don't know. Anyway, whenever Halsey had steaks, so did I. Mm-hmm. And he was a Mormon, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, Mormons aren't supposed to drink, but Halsey drank with okay. me and I drank with him.
Okay.
So we're one-on-one in this case. Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to have whiskey aboard ship, but Halsey had whiskey aboard ship. Mm-hmm. And he only poured me one shot. Of course, I become a real alcoholic. I mean, when I was in the military, I ain't going to talk to you about that because it's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. And I'm ashamed of myself. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, we done that. And so he said, now that we're getting acquainted, well, he said, can you teach me how to shoot like that? Well, I said, yeah, I suppose. You know, I'm a kid, so I want to know what I can know about it. So I laid a pencil on his desk and it rolled off and he didn't even bother to pick it up or nothing. And he said, you think I can shoot like that? And I said, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to look at your hands. So I looked at his hands and then looked him in the face and I said, when I think about it, you don't have eye to hand coordination to the brain. And I don't think you can do it. Mm-hmm. But I'll do everything I can to help you. So I don't know how many rounds of ammunition we shot, several cases now, and there's 1,000 shell case. We'd get that 45 out, I'd go down, check it out, and give it to him, and he'd shoot.
Now, where was he shooting?
Huh?
Where was he when he was shooting?
Out in the middle of the ocean.
Okay, off the ship.
Yeah, for sure. Getting the law, but then I didn't care. He was the admiral. Mm-hmm. And if he missed the fish, I'd just shoot him, because mm-hmm. I thought maybe I might have hit him or something.
Right.
And I didn't want him to suffer. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, he got to where he could probably, I think the old Navy pistol held 9 shots. And I think he killed one fish in 9. Mm-hmm. And I never missed. I mean, I'd done this for, 2 years, and I never missed a fish. Just mm-hmm. never done it. And I grew up, and I wound up as a bull rider in rodeos.
Okay.
That's a bad game. Mm-hmm. But my neck broke.
And this was before you left home?
No, I was come back home with bull riding. Well, I'd done bull riding before I left home.
Okay.
But then I broke my neck and I come back to get better, live with my folks. But I never did come back and live with them again after that. I mean, mm-hmm. I just didn't want to. Mm-hmm.
Did you learn to shoot while you were at home growing up?
Yes, and that's a story I can tell too. And an old Indian named by A.B. Largent was his name. He worked for my dad mm-hmm. and my grandfather. And I grew up old people now, and then they always harassed me. And I had an awful time in grade school. Mm-hmm. That's part of home life now. And when you're in the third grade and you get expelled for 2 weeks from school, it's pretty bad.
What did you get expelled for?
Embarrassing the teacher. And I didn't do it deliberately. It was just that she didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I did. Mm-hmm. And we got into it over multiplication tables, and I shouldn't even tell you this because it wasn't her fault, mm-hmm. it's mine. But I knew my multiplication tables from 1 to the 12s, knew them all when I was in the third grade. I knew them before I went to school, but then because the men harassed me all the time, mm-hmm. called me dinky, and just pestered me after death. And I knew a lot about the world and people mm-hmm. before I left home. And I never was a kid. Wherever Dad went, I went, mm-hmm. and I was a cowboy and broke horses too to ride, but and Tommy Lonberg. I grew up with him, and he was out here, and he died. Mm-hmm. And he was a real cowboy. He stayed with it. And did you by chance remember a man by the name of Jim Shoulders? Was the best bull rider for 7 years. Well, he taught me some things about bull riding.
Oh, okay.
And he was a good man. He's still alive. He's in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting old, because I'm 80 and he's older than that. But anyway, he said, if you just pay attention to that old bull, he tells you what he's going to do before he does it, then you can ride him.
Mm-hmm.
I got to where I was a pretty good bull rider. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, that didn't last that long. I had to have something else better to do, so I took up a drive in a truck, and I was a farm boy and drove tractors and overhauled them. Now, when I was a kid, I overhauled Magnetas because mm-hmm. they wouldn't run right, I didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
So I was mechanically inclined probably from the time I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to fly here in Dodge City from Roy Mahon. Did you know him?
I do know the name, yes.
Well, he taught me to fly, and he soloed me in 1 hour, and 5 hours I was spraying for him. And I sprayed 200 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard his airplane. I flew through the wire a couple of times, but then that's about it. Nothing about that. And so I've had a really good life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it's been an inspiring life. And then when the wife and I got married, well, she decided I needed to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So the Navy, they wanted me to go to school, and I didn't want to go to their school because it wasn't what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go. But I did have 6 years of schooling to go, so I took the GI training when I come home.
Right.
Did you remember Bob and Winnie Rosebrook?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, Bob and Winnie taught me to become a crankshaft grinding man,
okay.
Engine reboring man, line boring guy, valve refacer, and ring gear and pinion, and I don't know what all. It don't make any difference about
mm-hmm.
that. I spent 4 years there.
Okay.
Then Winnie and I decided I needed something else better to do, so I took up being a tool maker.
Mm-hmm.
Done that for 38 years.
Okay.
That's a long time.
And this was in Wichita?
No, that was in my own shop.
Oh, okay.
When I got out of the military, I come home and now it's, you know, it's, I couldn't find a job, and I was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Just a whole bunch of things wrong about it. But anyhow, we got married. And we had 3 kids in 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and had identical twins, and then a few months later we had another one.
Mm-hmm.
So we had 3 boys and a girl,
mm-hmm.
and they're all still alive, and they all got pretty good jobs, and they're all doing fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know for sure about the youngest boy, because he kind of disowned us.
Mm.
I haven't seen him in 20 years, but well, he's kind of hot-headed like I was,
mm-hmm.
and he had a mind of his own, and I told my wife, I said, I can't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
He got that from me.
Yeah.
And as stubborn as he is, I wouldn't try to talk to him anyway.
Right, yeah.
So he's okay, but he got hurt by a horse, drug half a mile and stirping the horse and bust his skull and I don't know what all. But anyway, they all three got aboard one ship in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke his neck in the military. Well, he was a wrestler, and he'd done pretty good at it, but just done it and broke his neck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he come home, and he never was quite right after that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up here.
Yeah.
Never. My wife is a nurse. But anyway, she forced me to go back to school. She said, you know, if we have a family, and you got 2 or 3 things wrong, she said, you got a couple of bad habits you got to break. And, of course, I didn't think much about drinking. I mean, I drank all the time. When I was a kid at home in grade school, I drank 2 or 3 beers a day.
And mm-hmm.
So I just thought everybody drank that way. But anyhow, she said, the first thing you got to do is you drink too much. And I was drinking a fifth a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's alcoholics in name. And I'm not proud of it. I'm mm-hmm. sick of it. But
yeah.
Anyway, I laughed about it. And I'm driving the truck. And I never drank nothing when I was driving a truck. I just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I smoked real bad. I smoked 4 packs a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I quit smoking cigarettes. I think that was in 40, I don't remember when it was. And I started smoking cigars. And I got to where I was puffing them, 18 of them a day, but So I was working 16 hours a day, so that's not too many cigars. Mm-hmm. And she said, you got to quit them too. And so I raced motorcycles. She said, and I don't want you to do that anymore because I got kids. And if you get killed or hurt bad, we can't, the chef do something with them. So my dad insisted I quit that. So I did. Then I took up spraying because you have to have things to keep your mind busy, or even today. Mm-hmm. I can tell you some things. I don't want to put all that on tape, but I'm doing some other things.
Okay.
And I'm a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a commercial license.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not dumb when you get this
right,
kind.
Right, yeah.
Well, but I'm not even intelligent. That's the thing that's bad about it.
Well, we'll talk about that. But, okay, now I led you off the path. Let's get back to Bull Halsey.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, we got shooting flying fish. And it was every day we'd tried, he'd call me on the phone. He said, Wayne, it's time. And, of course, we had some things in common now. And mm-hmm. He had an admiral's barge, and I was the boatswain mate, and took him wherever he wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
islands, and I'd done a lot of that for him, and we was in the islands for quite a while.
Okay, now you're talking about the Pacific Islands?
Yeah, yes. Pacific. I done all my time in the Pacific Island, and probably no island in the Pacific big enough the ship can't get to that I haven't been on, walked around on, or
okay.
done something.
All right, so when you were leaving the United States on your first ship and you encountered him, then you said to him, yes, I'll go with you and be your bodyguard?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then he wanted to learn to shoot. We had an awful time over that, but he never did really. Oh, he could shoot, but not as good as I wanted him to, because
mm-hmm.
he just didn't have eye to hand brain coordination.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's pretty important to shooting.
Right.
But he was the nicest guy that I ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He always treated me fine, and he said, as long as I'm on board ship and you're aboard ship, you're going to be my bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally wanted to ask him why. I said, well, he said, if I need you to shoot somebody, would you shoot him? I looked at him, and I said, now, Halsey, I got to say something. That's just me and him talking. I said, probably ask a question or two,
mm-hmm.
and if you want him dead, I'd probably shoot him. I said, I'd have no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you wouldn't? And I said, well, it'd probably bother me, but you're the boss, so I would probably shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I hope it never happens. But he said, if you see somebody abusing me, what would you do? And I said, probably kill him. Because
mm-hmm.
you're the man that looks after the Navy, and I'm in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I agreed on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, we had our differences, too. But he played chess.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of learned to play chess on board ship with him. And that's a good game.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've got a chess board over there that my kids say, I learned my kids, or taught my kids to play chess too, and they're pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But my one son, one of the twins, bought me that chess board. It's all handmade, and it come from Hungary, I think.
Okay.
Metal wood. If you want to look at it, you can.
Okay,
but
maybe later.
But I do a lot of things that other people don't do.
Mm-hmm.
I've overhauled airplane engines. I've rebuilt airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
I was IBM's number one troubleshooter for 14 years in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
That's a pretty impressive job.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm trying to get this straight in my mind. When you joined the Navy, mm-hmm. you had to forge your father's
yes.
signature, and when you told your dad, he was very angry.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Did the Navy ever find out that?
Oh, I let Bull Halsey take care of that. They
okay.
called me. See, I've enlisted in the Navy,
mm-hmm.
and I never turned myself into the draft board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Guadalcanal, and I get a letter mm-hmm. in the mail from the board, what do they call it, the place where you go and
the selective service.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway. I said to Bill Halsey, I said, I can't be there in 24 hours and I'm in Guadalcanal.
Mm-hmm.
He said, give it to me, I'll take care of it.
Okay.
So I just give it to him. And in about 24 hours, he said, you can forget about it. You don't have to worry about it no more. So
okay.
I never even worried about it after that.
Okay. So when you joined the Navy, you joined at Leavenworth?
Yes.
Okay. And then where did you go to boot camp?
In Farragut, Idaho.
Okay.
Four weeks.
Okay. And what did you do there?
I learned to swim. I learned to part of the Morse code. I learned how to take orders.
Was that hard?
For me, it was mm-hmm. very, very hard mm-hmm. because they didn't know straight up when the sun is shining.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not intelligent, but I know right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, the chief in the military, it was at Farragut, Idaho, is where it was. His name was Chief Karsh, little guy. Him and I was about the same height. He picked on me something furious. And I had a temper that was too bad. And I always was prissy. I always shaved good and combed my hair good and always was clean. But I had oily hair.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing watch, or no, on standing inspection, I guess it was. And they took my hat off and just, my white hat, and stomped it on the ground. That's a picture of me right there.
Oh, okay. Good looking, yeah.
No, just a kid. Anyway, he threw my hat on the ground and stomped it. And went around and got 100 and some of us, and there's the picture. Well, it's right back there somewhere in the wall. That's my boot
camp. Oh, sure, I see.
That's my boot camp guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wash every one of their hats by hand. Hung them on the clothesline and all that jazz. And Karsh said, I don't want to ever catch you with a ring of oil around your hair like that. So I cut, shaved my head, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Let my whiskers grow. And Halsey laughed about that, but it's all right. But anyway, I shaved it for a year and a half. I shaved my head, and not my face. I just mm-hmm. shaved my head. And, well, there's a lot of things happen. But it was all fun.
Mm-hmm. Why did you want to join the Navy?
Well, the Navy had a sign in front of their office in Wichita. I stayed in the New Wichita hotels where I lived at. Working for Sanor. I slept in the truck for a long time, and I finally got enough money together so I could sleep in the hotel. But anyhow, the sign out there points to me and said, Uncle Sam wants you.
Mm-hmm.
So I told the chief in the Navy, I said, and if you don't take me, I'm going to start a lawsuit against the Navy Department because they said they want me and you're not accepting me, so you don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take me in the Navy.
Mm-hmm. But why the Navy rather than the Army?
I just wanted to go somewhere and be something important, I thought.
Okay.
And I thought they needed me. I volunteered for submarines because I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't, they didn't take a one of us in submarines, and which is all right.
Yeah.
But when I got out of boot camp, we come to Farragut, Idaho, and I went to, let's see, Sandpoint, Idaho, I think is where we picked her up. And I wouldn't get on because Dad says steel don't float. And says slide that much steel down the ocean, and if it floats, I'm not going to be on it to get wet.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go, and I got put on report, and I wasn't the only one. There was about 12 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just wouldn't go. Go to see what we have to extra duty to do. And that's another thing I got in trouble with. I couldn't accept things like that. Anyway, they slid her down the blank plank, and she just went out there, bubbled up down a few times, and I got on her, and away we went. We went and took a shakedown cruise. Was gone 2 weeks, I think, and come back, and she went through some pretty rough water, and she broke, and she cracked in the bottom. And one of the guys on board ship went underneath of it and welded it so we could stay together and come back to Birmingham. We was in dry dock, fixed us. And then when we left the United States, I didn't think we'd ever come home.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone 11 months, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, we seen a lot of things and done a lot of things, and we had a squadron of airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't know how to say all that. Sometimes they'd come back and sometimes they didn't.
Right. Now, you were always in the Pacific Theater.
Always in the Pacific. Nowhere else.
Okay. All right.
And the Pacific was my home, and I still like to go back. In fact, I'm going to say this, and I'm building an airplane that don't burn fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I've created this, and I've made one motor already, and it's been running for 20 years and never been shut off.
Oh my God.
I done this, and it's in Boulder, Colorado, in Bill Schifano's basement running his machine shop.
Oh, okay.
And his injection molding shop. And I've become a tool maker,
mm-hmm.
but I'm more than a tool maker. I'm a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I run a shop and had 54 people working for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
14 years.
Yeah.
Made lots of money.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun. we had a wonderful time.
All right. Well, let's get back to when you were on that ship.
Okay.
and you were headed over, and you thought you'd never come home because it was such a big ocean.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't swim across.
Even though you learned how to swim.
Yes.
What were your, and is this when you met Halsey then on that
ship? On the ship.
Okay.
On the ship. Okay. Well, not the first.
The second one. Okay, when you then got, where were you going that first time?
Well, let's see. We went to, I'm trying to remember for sure.
And was this a troop ship?
No,
it was
an aircraft carrier. Aircraft carrier.
Okay.
Why don't you shut that off for just a minute? I'll get you something. We left San Diego and we went this way and down around. Oh, I don't remember seeing before we went to Guadalcanal. We was at Midway and was at Wake and we was at Fiji Island, the Caroline, and I don't remember all of them. I just don't remember.
Okay, but you did say that the first time you went over, you were over there 11 months mm-hmm. and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you got your second ship?
Well, no. See, I'm a kind of a funny guy. I trade ships, I think, in Guadalcanal.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure of that now.
Could you do that? I guess so.
Well, Halsey fixed it so I could. So okay. Anything I wanted, well, he done for me.
Okay.
And he done a lot of things for me. I mean, I ain't going to go into all that BS because it's not that important, I don't think.
Well, I think it is.
Well, but see, it seems like, I'll tell you something, it feels like I'm having a dream
mm-hmm.
and I'll wake up one of these days and it'll all be over with.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know, see. So.
Right.
So that's where it goes. But anyhow, from the time I got on board ship and then I got discharged, and now you don't know what goes on in the military, but we had point system. We got out for certain places we'd been, what we'd done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had 7 more points and what you needed to get out.
Right.
So I told Halsey, I said, we get caught on Guadalcanal, I'm a civilian, I'm getting off.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, Wayne, he said, you're not. He said, the Marines will look after you, and you'll be in the brig in Washington, D.C., and they'll beat you to death.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so don't go. So I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
was he almost like a father to you?
He was a father.
Yeah.
Anything I wanted to do, I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a family of his own. I didn't even know about that. His wife's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Salt Lake City. But he had 2 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go see him yet before I die.
Because mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk to her. Because he was something else.
Mm-hmm.
But he died.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd known when he died, I'd been there.
Right.
But didn't know it, so we kind of lost track of one another.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a girl in, I guess she was in New York City. Her name was Elaine Kipling, I can't remember. She lived in Hyde Park, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And she was next door to President Roosevelt
okay.
at that time. And of course, she and I, and whenever we'd go to another island or somewhere, she'd always be there. And I never knew how she knew where I was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So for every island I was on, she would sooner be there sometime
mm-hmm.
or somebody tell me she'd been there.
Okay.
But we got kind of buddy-buddy. And she was a very, very wealthy lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it. And